Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
My hound needs Prozac, but that's another issue.
All right, it is time for a Rockin' the Suburbs sports break. We are going to recap the 80s Album Madness tournament that we have going on over there on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/suburbspod to vote. We are heading into the Elite Eight of our tournament. I am Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us, as always, are expert analysts. Hello, Jason Goble.
Hey, everybody.
And hello, Bill Mulligan.
Morning. How you doing?
All right. So here's what we're going to do. And by the way, if anybody is listening to this as it is posted, you got to listen to it a little early. This is technically the Monday episode of the week, but it is being released a little early for purposes of the timing of this tournament. So the next votes will start at noon today, Sunday, March 30th. All right. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to look back at the Sweet 16 matchups, the results of the Sweet 16 in this tournament, and then we will look ahead to the Elite Eight. So, let's start here with the sales quadrant. The two Sweet 16 matchups there were AC/DC's Back in Black defeating Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction 78-52. And Prince's Purple Rain defeating U2's The Joshua Tree 73-64. All right, guys.
Well, I guess Back in Black, you know, we had talked about, or I'd been talking about, I think primarily, I think we all had, about how Guns N' Roses was potentially polarizing, and AC/DC looked strong in the Sweet 16, shaking Guns N' Roses most of the night long and advancing into the next round. And then there was the battle, Prince versus U2. And the fans say, "We will die for you," and Purple Rain advancing into the next round. Big win by Purple Rain.
Yeah, I agree. I think in the first matchup, it's the difference between a few stellar performances versus just an all-around fantastic effort on Back in Black. Personally, although this is my own biases, I was a little surprised at how close the Purple Rain Joshua Tree was. But either one would be a worthy contender as we go forward.
I'm kind of with you, Bill, in that my sense going into this was that Prince was sort of going to run away with it. But watching the comments on Facebook as this was going on, I guess I failed to realize just how strong the passions are for the Joshua Tree. Like, there are like a lot of people who I think believe like that should be the overall winner, you know? And so it was a really strong matchup, I guess, in the end.
I mean, I know this was the money bracket, but I would say that, and I believe I speak for the community, that both of these albums, and I think you mentioned it even last time, Jim, this was, Purple Rain was probably my high school album that I listened to probably the most in high school, and Joshua Tree was my freshman year at college, and I listened to that not only because radio played a ton of it, but it was also like one of my favorite albums, and that went beyond 87 at the end of the day. It was definitely a battle of two albums that I think people love. And, Purple Rain, as I said, impressive win.
Patrick, any thoughts on the results?
Yeah, I think somehow, I'm not sure exactly how to put this into words or quantify it, but something just feels right that AC/DC knocked Guns N' Roses out. I'm not, I don't know what it is about it, but it just seems like that's okay. Good, good. That's the way it should be. Yeah. I think there's just a little piece of karmic, you know, jet stream that just turned in the right way in that matchup.
Every once in a while, America gets a vote correct.
That's correct. That's what I was trying to say.
I'll be honest. I was nervous you were going to have to forfeit them because there was a shot Guns N' Roses may not show up to 3 o'clock to start. And I didn't know what you were going to do, Jim, if that was going to, if that ended up happening.
All right. Was there something else you were going to say, Patrick?
No, I would say I was a little surprised by the, you know, sentiment and love for Joshua Tree. Just the depth and strength of it was a little surprising.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. We'll circle back to this and look ahead to the Elite Eight matchup there. Okay. Let's move over to the Critics Quadrant. There you had London Calling. The Clash's London Calling defeating Talking Heads Remain in Light 117-31. And this one, wow, so many people turned up for this contest here. The Cure's Disintegration defeating the Pixies' Doolittle 215-126.
Well, let's start with London Calling. You know, I think we had all been looking at this as probably being the strong man or the strong band, strong album of the bracket. I was a little surprised. I thought Remain in Light would get more votes at the end of the day. But, you know, this is another impressive blowout by London Calling. I thought London Calling would win, but I thought it'd be closer. So, you know, London Calling is looking strong. Now, I guess, A, I was surprised by the amount of votes in the Cure-Pixies matchup, but I'm running out of military terms, so I'll say Cure Navy at the end of the day, because the Cure brought out the fans. Look, you said, Pat, the last time, beware of the power of the eyeliner. And I'll tell you what, the Golf Brit Alternative Nation kids came out and, in force for this one, for the Cure.
Yeah, I'm not making any comment on whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, but the vote total on this one has kind of social media all over it. I think some fan clubs got wind of what was going on here.
Right.
I mean, this by probably 50% tops the biggest vote total, second biggest vote total in any matchup in the tournament. So,
hey, more power to them. You know, there's apparently a lot of passion for the Cure. So even to this day, even in the year 2025, right? Who would have thought?
I just want to say well done to the Suburbs Pod organizational crew, because we had people with counterfeit tickets trying to get into this. People were trying to sneak in, you know, through the bathroom, and the arena was jam packed, but the crew kept a calm head. There was no incidents. So well done by the organizers there.
Yes.
And I'll say this for the Pixies folks out there, you know, 126 in a losing effort is pretty strong as well. And, you know, definitely when you're talking about stories of this tournament, the Pixies definitely have to be up there as one of a few, you know, a very impressive run by the Pixies.
Absolutely. Okay, now we're going to move down to the listeners quadrant. And I want to set this up by saying, 2 years ago, when we started this whole bracket madness thing, we did Greatest American Bands. And at one point, there was a matchup between R.E.M. and the Replacements, and R.E.M. ended up winning 2 years ago, besting the Replacements. Well, things did not go that way for R.E.M. this time in this 80s album tournament, because we had back-to-back matchups between R.E.M. albums and Replacements albums, and both of them went the Replacements' way. So, let me start here with Tim, Replacements' Tim, defeating R.E.M.'s Murmur 90-79. And then the next matchup was Replacements' Let It Be defeating REM's Reckoning 96-73.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that the Mats ended up winning both, but the Mats militia is strong and loyal.
I'm not going to say much on the theory. If you can't say something nice, you shouldn't say anything at all. But I just wanted to take this opportunity to sing the praises of Murmur. I was a freshman in college when this album was released. So I went from high school listening to basically standard top 40 stuff. And then I show up in college and this starts coming out of the radio. To me, it was just such a so different, such a transforming album for me personally. And I think the course of popular music, you know, college radio became alternative later in that decade or in the 90s. So here's to you, Murmur. It's still one of my favorite albums. I personally think it might be the best of the 64 that were on the board to begin with. But the voters saw it differently. So there you go.
So very well said, Bill, first off. And everyone here, we're recording in the morning. So raise your mimosa glass to the REM. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. All right. Very nice. I know, Patrick, you probably share some sentiments there.
Absolutely share that sentiment with Bill. And it very well may be the, you know, my favorite or the best quality album here in the 64. Although, I don't know if anyone is watching the trend. It could be a stinging rebuke of the Rickenbacker here. We've had two Rickenbacker driven guitar albums knocked out by the less conventional guitars played by Westerberg and Stinson here. So held together with duct tape against the chiming Rickenbacker. interesting victory there.
Okay, so we'll come back to this in a moment. Let's move over to the hosts quadrant, and there the two matchups were this. We had another Replacements album, Pleased to Meet Me, beating Los Lobos, How Will the Wolf Survive, 124-33. And then we had Tracy Chapman, the number 16 seed, the my last wild card pick in this thing, making a run. Tracy Chapman defeating John Mellencamp's Aha, 72-38.
Well, I guess let's start with the bottom. Pleased to Meet Me. I mean, I think we all kind of thought that, you know, it would be nice if Los Lobos was sort of surprised, but we didn't really expect it. And then, you know, you go to your Webster's Dictionary and you go to the definition of Cinderella, and there's a big picture of Tracy Chapman, like the album cover. I'll be honest, I thought this one was going to be closer. I figured there was Mellencamp would get more than the 38 that he got, but Tracy is on a roll, and hats off to her to get to the Elite Eight.
Tracy Chapman was literally, the way we put this together, the process by which this field was selected, Tracy Chapman, literally the last one in the tournament.
Yep. Last yep. in.
So that's great. That's great to see.
She's the Shaka Smart of this tournament. That's right. At this point, for those there of you who know basketball.
Any other thoughts, guys?
I would, you know, picking up on what Bill said about Murmur, I would like to briefly sing the praises of How Will the Wolf Survive, because at least for me, this was a groundbreaking record in the sense of, like, wait a minute, here's a band with very strong East LA pride that they're putting forward, Mexican influences, not backing down from that yet, synthesizing it with the rock and roll that I loved, and they seemed to love, you know, growing up too, and it would just really open my mind to the possibilities of what you can do with rock and roll. And this is back in the 80s, man. It was right before I even knew who Fela Kuti or any Afrobeat people were, and it really went a long way, and I would imagine it did the same for many people. So yeah, it's an outstanding record, and met a worthy adversary, but made a strong run.
Yeah, I didn't want to repeat myself, but I was thinking the exact same thing about how will it will survive. I do think we have to give it a hand for being the accordion heaviest album in the entire tournament.
There you go.
That's a good point.
A small bronze accordion is awarded to the group, the album with the accordion that goes the farthest.
Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look ahead now at the Elite Eight matchups. So there are four of those. That'll get us down to the final four. These Elite Eight matchups start today on Sunday, Sunday, March 30th. And we'll go once a day, facebook.com/suburbspod. If you don't know this by now and you're listening to this episode, then I don't know what you're doing. Like, are you coming in like fresh on this? I don't know. But anyway, that's what you do. We're going to look ahead at these in reverse order. So we're going to end up with today's matchup. So let's just start where we ended here. In the Elite Eight, you will have in the host quadrant, the Replacements, Pleased to Meet Me, against Tracy Chapman's debut album.
Yeah. I mean, like St. Peter's in the basketball tournament a couple years ago, eventually the dream is going to end. And for Tracy Chapman, I think there's really, I was going to say no realistic expectation that Pleased to Meet Me won't prevail, but we didn't think Tracy Chapman was going to get this far. Right. So who knows?
Matt's Militia. I just want to let you know, throughout the world where you may be listening, there's supposed to be a one in a lifetime solar eclipse that you can see all throughout the world at the same time. It's going to last 24 hours. Nothing to see on the Facebook group. Go outside. Enjoy. You're fine. Look at the vote totals. There'll be enough people who vote for Pleased to Meet Me. That haven't been said. Pleased to Meet Me is going to win.
I'm not saying, I'm not trying to incentivize anybody here, but if Tracy Chapman does pull the upset, we may officially name the mouse Tracy Chapman.
Ooh, there you go.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
This is, we of course, the mouse in Jason's apartment, which I was going to bring up here on the next, that's right, the next matchup we talk about here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, so here, the next matchup we have here will be Replacements versus Replacements. So this is the listeners quadrant, and, it'll be, mm-hmm, it'll be Let It Be versus Tim. And I said on the last bracket episode we did, I said if two albums by the same band end up facing each other, it's like a snake eating itself. And I was wondering, yes, I was wondering, though, it got me to thinking, Jason, have you tried getting a snake to take care of your mouse problem?
You know, it's funny because Scott Eisenman, I believe, said he had two pythons as part of his new music pick. So, Scott, if you want to let me borrow a python, as long as it won't hurt me. I mean, I'll be honest. I think I'm more afraid of the python than the mouse. We're kind of coexisting now in our habitat. So I'm not sure I want the wild python. But, Scott, we should probably talk. In terms of when you set up the voters poll with the play-in bracket to get into this tournament,
right,
the album I voted for was Tim. So I'll be voting for Tim again. I said at the very beginning of this, I thought it was only going to be one album by each artist. And to me, my favorite Replacements album is Tim. So again, I'll be voting for Tim as part of this.
Yeah, I have no intelligible way to pick between the two. So I'll throw my vote in with Jason. Just support my colleague.
It'll be interesting to see where the Match Militia's devotions lie between these two records, these two seminal Replacements albums, two cornerstones of their catalog. It'll be very interesting to see. Will the Match Militia become divided against itself? Yeah.
And to your end, Pat, because I know the Match Militia have generally been winning pretty impressively. The REM ones were a little closer. But hey, Match Militia, if you need instructions about how to get into the fetal position, reach out to me on Tuesday, and I'll send you some material about how to do that.
Are there diagrams involved?
Yes. It's not, you know, it's not like you just automatically do it.
Yeah, okay.
You have to learn.
It's like the instructions in your seat back there before you take off on how to use the crash position. Yeah,
that's right. All right, so let's move over to the critics quadrant, and there we will have the Clash, London Calling, facing the Cure, Disintegration. Now, I would have thought going into this, like, oh, London Calling, right? But having seen that Cure turnout, Last round, I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore. Perhaps the Cure is poised to make it to the final four.
I was going to say the same thing. I thought London Calling was sort of a lock to get out of this bracket, but the Cure fans definitely woke up last time. I am going to stick because I think it's the last pick I have that I picked at the beginning. I'm going to stick with London Calling, but it could be another big night for a big day for Robert Smith and the Cure. Pat, I think you mentioned the last time, or we were trying to get a potential sponsor of an eyeliner company as part of this part of this tournament. So, you know, if your Cure fans go out, tournament may be sponsored by Maybelline for the rest of the run.
That's right. Fingers crossed. Yeah, if anybody in the Cure militia, the Cure Navy, knows any contacts at Maybelline, let us know. We'll definitely follow up.
I was going to say, for me, London Calling is the vote, but it depends on the Cure's turnout.
Yeah.
Turnout is, as always, is the key to winning elections.
Paul Simonon's going to have to get that base repaired and get ready for battle, I think. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. All right. And then the matchup that they have going on today and until noon tomorrow, Monday the 31st, that is in the sales quadrant, and that is a colorful matchup, Back in Black against Purple Rain.
It's definitely a battle of styles. It's going to be an interesting one. I had picked the Joshua Tree to emerge from this one. I thought the only hurdle for the Joshua Tree was potentially going to be Purple Rain. So I think I'm going back with Prince and saying, especially here on a Sunday, dearly beloved, it's time to start bathing in the Purple Rain and get Purple Rain into the Final Four.
Yeah, I think my money's on Purple Rain as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that. I think this is also an interesting clash of sort of the 80s, at least for me, dividing line. Back in Black feels like more of a carryover from the 70s, little guitar-heavy classic rock, and then Prince ushered in this entirely new, you know, style, amalgam of Hendrix and funk and soul and his own personality that definitely took the 80s music in a different direction. So definitely the old guard here, I think, versus the newer guard of the 80s.
Okay, well, we'll see how that goes. There are definitely a lot of fans of Back in Black out there. So, okay. Let's get out of here, and we'll do another bracket episode in like 4 days, like later this week. I think we'll have one on Friday this week where we will recap the Elite Eight matchups and then look forward to the Final Four in 80s album Madness. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. Oh, wait. I forgot the on behalf of the various animals. On behalf of Shadow, who, by the way, just got a really nice haircut. He got a spring haircut.
Oh,
and he is looking sharp. Lovely. He is looking sharp right now.
Send pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Send pictures.
Yeah, we got to get that up there. So on behalf of Shadow, on behalf of Bucket, on behalf of Ginger, do either of your dogs get haircuts in the spring or anything like that?
No. Hounds don't normally need haircuts.
Yeah. No, hounds don't need it. Yeah.
Yeah.
My hound needs Prozac, but that's another issue.
And I assume there's no grooming going on with the mouse.
Yeah, we're still not that tight. We're trying to keep a respectable distance from each other, you know. He's got his turf. I got my turf. That hasn't been said, you know. Look, by the end of this, we may soul kiss. So there you go.
You and Tracy Chapman, fingers crossed.
Does the mouse ever come out and play your records?
You know, it was funny because one night in the middle of the night, I woke up and heard him play Rites of Spring. I had listened to that one on my own, but that was way back at the beginning of this thing. But then all of a sudden I woke up, I'm like, I know this one. How did it get on? Rites of Spring. Who knew? The mouse apparently loves Rites of Spring. I wish I would have brought him up earlier, Pat. He probably would have gotten more votes. They probably would have gotten more votes in the tourney.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Bill Mulligan.
And I'm Jason Goble.
All right. And we'll talk to you all later. And if the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy. Punch a higher floor. Woo! Living here, take a look around. At least you got friends. I call my old lady, more friendly word. She picked up the phone, dropped it on the floor. That's all I heard. I'm gonna let the elevator break us down. Oh no, let's go. Go crazy. Let's get nuts. Let's look for the purple banana. Last night I was watching, as I do sometimes when I'm up late, and had a few. I'll just start watching like music videos on YouTube, and and I was like watching one, and I was thinking to myself, "What happened to the Violent Femmes? Were they in this thing? Oh my God! It was like 2 months ago they were eliminated. Are we sure?
Yeah.
Are we sure that that was right? Are we sure that's not one of the best albums of the 80s? I mean, come on, people. So I'm going to go back and investigate that."